You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Heavenly Father, we would see Jesus today. Heavenly Father, we would hear Jesus today. Heavenly Father, we would be moved to love and serve Jesus today. Amen. It is always a joy to be back here at the Advent in the city of my birth. The presidency of Idi Amin was a time of terror, when everything seemed normal on the surface, but at the drop of a hat in a split second, violence could explode out into the open and you could be killed without a second thought. According to Margaret Ford, the secretary of the Archbishop of the Church of Uganda, quote, "Family after family had one or more of its members accused by the security forces, arrested, beaten, and often killed before investigations could be made or any trial held. Life had become cheap. If a policeman envied your car, he stopped you, beat you to death, and drove off with your car. Bodies were regularly floating on Lake Victoria or caught in the flower beds or buried carelessly in shallow graves. Others were burned in fire pits or simply thrown into the bush and left to rot or be eaten by wild beasts. The smell of death covered the land. The crocodiles sunning themselves along the Nile were fat, as were their human counterparts. Archbishop Janani Luwum was a man of peace, a quiet man, a uniter, not a divider, a man who sought reconciliation instead of confrontation. But in the face of such unrestrained evil, he could not remain silent. In such times, peace does not come without a price. Peace does not come without a fight. During his Christmas Day radio address in 1976, Janani prayed for peace, but he also spoke of the social sins which destroy peace, an unforgiving spirit, jealousy, hatred, greed. President Amin did not respond well. His message was cut short. Shortly thereafter, Amin announced, "Some bishops are advocating bloodshed," and he personally threatened those who continued to speak what he called words of treason. No one knew which church he meant. The Catholics thought the threat was directed at them, while the Church of Uganda, the Anglican Church there, concluded that Amin meant them. Sadly, the Anglicans were correct. Blood would flow, but not by the hand of the Anglican bishops, but from they're brutally bruised, badly beaten, broken, and bullet-ridden bodies. In the new year, at first Amin's government raided Janani's house, then put him on trial for treason, where he whispered to Bishop Festo Convingeri, "They are going to kill me. I am not afraid." Then on February 16, 1977, they did just that. In its centennial year, a church birthed in the martyrdom of boy pages who resisted the sexual advances of their king because of their new faith and were burned in banana leaves as a result. That church birthed in martyrs' blood had its commitment to the gospel sealed once again in blood. Lent is the season of the church year where we remember that the price of gospel love for others is first learning to die to self. For Janani Luwum, that meant literally being willing to die. What is the gospel for which Janani Luwum died? Converted in the early years of the famous East African revival, his gospel was a gospel of peace brought about by the cross of Christ. For the cross reminds us that sin is a power at work in the world and a power at work in us. For the cross reminds us that sin brings hurt, harm, destruction, despair, in short, misery in all its forms, a power tainting the goodness of God's creation, a power straining the joy of human relationships. The cross reminds us that sin cannot be winked at, ignored, excused, tolerated, managed, compromised with, or least of all, used as a means for getting our own selfish ends. The cross reminds us that sin is a power at work in society that must be confronted, resisted, pushed back, broken, and eradicated as much as in our power lies. The cross reminds us that sin is a power at work in us that must be pardoned and fought, a power from which we must be delivered and freed, as much as the Holy Spirit can do in us in this life now and completely forever in the age to come. The cross reminds us that rescuing society from sinful human ways begins by our first being redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Only hearts transformed by the gospel can work to transform the heart of a sick society. Only the Holy Spirit pushing back selfish desires within us will equip us to call out the abuses of the powerful around us. Individual repentance is the beginning for and the bedrock of life lived together in the church and the wider society. In short, individual repentance is the beginning for and the bedrock of community repentance and renewal. That is the gospel. On February 16, 1977, in a holding cell, stripped and beaten, speaking through a jaw that had been badly broken, immediately before his death, he turned to his fellow prisoners and Janani said, "Never lose faith in God. Whatever they do, the truth will shine and one day the world will get to know of this evil." The world did learn of the evil of those times. As Luwum and his fellow Anglican bishops anticipated, the international community finally turned against Amin when he did something as so credibly outrageous, even by his standards, as killing the leading churchman in his country. Little more than 2 years later, Amin was gone because the world heard the gospel message with which Janani Luwum had responded. And the world continues to remember his witness. A statue of Archbishop Janani Luwum stands here in Birmingham at Beeson Divinity School. Another statue stands above the west door of Westminster Abbey. He is one of their 10 martyrs of the 20th century, teaching Anglicans daily of our place in a worldwide communion of faith, of suffering, of hope. Speaking about Archbishop Luwum, Bishop Anthony Ball reminds us that we are all faced with choices: to speak or be silent, to collude or to confront. I was in Uganda last Monday to honor Archbishop Luwum's courage and constancy and to give thanks for the work of Christ's grace in his life. But what about us here in Birmingham? In this season of Lent, as we do maintain the wonderful Advent tradition of the Lenten Speaker Series, how do we respond to the witness of Archbishop Luwum in the face of the sin in the world? How do we respond to the gospel he embraced and expressed in the face of the sin in us? Will we show the same courage and constancy to fight an unforgiving spirit, jealousy, hatred, and greed at work amongst us and in us today? The last time I checked, unforgiveness, envy, hatred, greed, they only don't just happen to Africans, do they? Is Christ's grace at work powerfully in our hearts to enable us to walk in the light, come what may? Jesus warns us to face our sin head on. Mark 9:48. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eyes causes you to stumble, tear it out. Watch out, Jesus is saying to his disciples. If you saw gangrene setting in your hand, you would cut it off. If you saw cancer in your eye, you would pluck it out. If diabetes collapsed the circulation in your foot, you would have it amputated. You would be willing to submit to any treatment if it meant that losing a natural part of your body in order to save the rest of it. In the same way, Jesus is saying, we must be willing to submit the sickness in our soul to the same drastic treatment. Unforgiveness, jealousy, hatred, greed, selfishness in all its forms. That's the rub, isn't it? They don't come in hands and feet and eyes. They emerge out of our heart. It's our heart that must be cut out and a new one put in it. And isn't that the promise of the gospel? That God puts in us a new heart. That on the cross, the glorious exchange has happened. God has destroyed the work of sin in us and put his Spirit day by day to give us new life, to enable us not only to be pardoned, but to fight. Not only to experience deliverance from the power of sin, but to make good use of that and to walk in fire. How does the Holy Spirit do that? I grew up in Western Kansas, and we are used to prairie fires. They can be incredibly destructive, two-story high flames. So what do? You light a backfire. The smaller controlled fire sucks the oxygen from the big fire and suffocates us. Jesus says everyone will be salted with fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit. What is the root of sin? Trying to find false comfort in places that it's not there. But the Spirit, Romans 5:5 tells us, sheds in our heart the Holy Spirit and the gift of God's love that begins to heal our hurts, to give us a comfort that stands up to the tests of trying circumstances, that gives us assurance that come what may, God is with us, in us, and forging a way forward for us to go. In the end, love, not hate, fueled the life of Janani Luwu. Love for Jesus, love for his suffering fellow Ugandans, love for the oppressor, for he reminded those close to him that Idi Amin was still a child of God for whom they should pray. This love overcame bitterness and unforgiveness. This love overcame self-interest in order that he could give himself as a sacrifice. This love enabled him to lay down his life just as out of love of Christ. Christ died for us. So we must conclude by asking ourselves, what do we love? Where do we look for comfort? What lies of the world have we listened to that in this Lent, God is calling us to say, Lord, forgive. Lord, deliver. Make the promise of new life in the gospel by the blood of Christ avail for me against the lies of the enemy at work in my life. If there is anything other than a burning love for Christ and his kingdom, for the welfare of your neighbor and the salvation of your soul, if you love anything that wants to hide in the darkness, if you want to love anything that robs you of your saltiness, if you love anything that causes you not to have peace with God or yourself, Lent is the time to confront it and confess it. Lent is the time to ask for the gift of repentance. Lent is the time to be salted with the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. In that great Southern expression, Lent is the time to come to Jesus. Come to him in his word. Come to him in his sacraments, either for the first time or afresh. Come to his love and his blood. That by his cross you be made more whole now and forever. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.